episode number 4.
Welcome to Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets, the show that offers you insight, tips, tricks, and shortcuts to superior hockey play.
In this episode, I have a special announcement plus a follow-up to last week's discussion about battling for territory. This show's hot topic has to do with the players' respect for the game. I'm going to briefly touch upon the way different players absorb information. I'll share my thoughts on the wrestle between winning and development. And in the tips segment, I want to share some advice on high school tryouts. Oh, and just because a number of people asked about this, I almost always record these shows in the wee hours of the morning. The building is quiet then, with no chance of a knock at the door or telephones ringing. I keep lots of diet soda on hand to keep me flying, and on a night like tonight, I'll be sucking on some hard candies between segments to soothe my old coach's voice. Let's see, I have everything set. The mic is on, so let's get going. Now, before we get rolling with new topics, I want to make an important announcement. Over the past few weeks, I've been lining up a number of guests to be interviewed in upcoming episodes. In every instance, those guys and gals will have some really interesting knowledge to share. I promise you won't want to miss any. So, either subscribe to Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets, or be sure to come back frequently over coming weeks and months to myhockeysecrets.blogspot.com. A quick comment on the previous episode's discussion on fighting for territory. I thought, after doing that segment, that I also should have mentioned how important it is for players to have something gross to think about, or an overall objective, rather than all sorts of little details like, you have to do it this way and you have to do it that way. In other words, imagine if a winger has as his main objective to get the puck out of his zone and over the blue line as he battles with an opposing point man. Or, supposing a defenseman has it in his or her head to meet an enemy attack as early as possible. Again, the purpose of last week's segment was to suggest that we should give our players overall objectives to guide their play, rather than stuff that's far too detailed. The idea, in the end, is for them to just do the doggone job. This week's hot topic starts with Boston Bruins centerman Michel Bergeron and his recent comments about the hit from behind that almost ended his career. In a press conference held several weeks after the October 27th incident, Bergeron tried to send a message to other NHLers for the need to respect each other. Of course, the 22-year-old star was really asking the league and its players to make dangerous hits a thing of the past. But I'd like to talk about another form of respect here, as in a player's general respect for the game. You see, every time I and my players witness someone being ejected from a game, I make it a point to talk to my guys about their real love for hockey, or their respect for the game. I mean, guys or gals who truly love the game aren't usually willing to embarrass themselves, their teammates, their league, or the game in general. It's a mindset, or a mentality, really. And I think players ought to be taught to look pretty early on at the way they behave and the way they carry themselves on the ice, in the locker room, and even as they travel with their team. Again, the way they act says an awful lot about how much they love the game. A number of years ago, I had the good fortune to exchange ideas with one of the U.S.'s top sports psychologists. A major part of his expertise had to do with ways to communicate with an athlete. So, while I don't want to come off like a doctor here, I think I can still help listeners a lot by sharing the gist of what I learned from him. To begin, there are a number of ways humans learn. For example, some grasp information best by hearing it. Some are visual learners, and yet others learn best by actively engaging in the exchange of ideas. It's been a while since I communicated with the good doctor, but I've heard more recently that there are as many as 7 different ways we humans learn. More to the point, I'm suggesting here that we coaches pretty likely have a myriad of learning abilities within our teams, and this further suggests that we're not going to get through to every single player by using the exact same teaching approaches at every practice. Now, I don't think I'm perfect in my presentations by any means, but I do try to rotate a good number of techniques throughout our 3 weekly practices and over the length of a long season. Like most coaches, I use a grease board to show a lot of the X's and O's, but I also post some written materials on our team's website. I refer the kids and the parents to some online videos at times, and I even hold a weekly discussion session where we hash over, in an interactive way, some areas of the game where the kids seem to be struggling. All that said, I want to tell you about a neat little idea I borrowed years ago from the great Russian coach Anatoly Tarasov. For the father of Soviet hockey used to employ a large model rink in his locker room for tactical sessions. So, over the years, I've made all sorts of similar rinks to fit the area in which they be used. My nicest ones are made from large table hockey games I bought at local flea markets or yard sales. They're almost like a piece of furniture when I finish them, and not that suitable for travel. So, last year I decided to make a huge roll-up one that can be sprawled out on the floor at our off-ice practice facility. I've placed a link to a photo of that newer one in my show notes, and although the picture isn't really clear, you might make out the rink's massiveness, plus the little movable men I slide around on the surface. It rolls up and packs easily in a narrow tube, which means I'll use it more often than if it was a headache to lug around. Again, we're not going to get through to every single player by using the exact same teaching approaches at every practice. I get a chance to brag here a little bit, but the other night, my high school prep squad won their Falls League Championship. They did it in fine fashion, too, breaking a 3-way tie for first a week ago by the score of 3-0, and then by shutting out their toughest opponent this week by the score of 7-0. That said, my programs aren't about winning. It's just that, having paid attention to detail and having opted for development over winning, winning does usually result in the end. Which brings me to one of the questions I'm frequently asked by youth program administrators, and that is, can an organization instill a bottom-to-top training system? My answer is always, yes, but. Of course, you want to know about the but. Well, supposing a young team is having difficulties with something like their breakouts. Do you know that I could come up with a batch of different ways to hide my players' deficiencies? And we'd pretty likely gain some extra wins by taking what I call the shortcut route. At the same time, I'd be neglecting my players' true needs by not just sticking with work on their basic skills until they're able to move the puck the right ways. Yet another coach might tend to take shortcuts by shortening his or her game bench or sitting out the weaker skaters when a game is on the line. That's why I see almost every decision like these as choices between winning and development. And it's hard for anyone to convince me that a coach can really do both at the same time. So, getting back to the idea of designing a perfect bottom-to-top program, I'd say that an organization would have to determine a certain number of levels whereby everything would be done for the sake of development. And trust me, if kids were developed right, from beginners through about squirt level, a program's peewees would ultimately look like the Swedish national team. Today's tip for better hockey play actually has to do with a better tryout. It's also timely in that New England area high schoolers are heading off to their tryouts now, and I thought I'd share some points I just discussed with my own players recently as they readied to leave me. I told them to first consider the possibility they'd be cut at the end of next week, for if they approach their tryouts with that in mind, they'll likely take care of business right from day one. I next asked them who their teammates are during tryouts. The correct answer is absolutely no one. I mean, don't be nice to anyone until the coach announces who is on the team. I'm going back to a previous episode segment here, as I also suggest they take their warm-ups and cool-downs personally. Then, I reminded each player to check every article of equipment at home the night before each workout. Hey, I've known lots of guys who lost jobs just because they had to take a single shift off. Well, that's it for another show. Don't forget to send me your questions. Also, please do tell a friend about my hockey secrets.
Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets is brought to you by New England Hockey and CoachChick.com.